As our scripture reader is coming, she's going to read from a section from Matthew's Gospel. Listen for these words to lift up the importance of speech, the words that we say.
Good morning. Scripture reading for today is Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Make a good tree, and its fruit will be good. Or make a bad tree, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. This is a reading of God's word.
And then from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus teaches his friends. Now when Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let us pray. Oh God, may your living word fall upon us as we deliver, preach, and hear and do your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When Martin Luther King was a 14-year-old boy, he entered a speech contest, an oratorical contest. And when it came time for the finals, and he made the finals of the contest, he and his teacher, Mrs. Bradley was her name, got on a bus and went to a neighboring city where the young 14-year-old boy won. Are you surprised that Martin Luther King would win a speech contest? Of course. What a gifted speaker. Even at 14, he was the winner. And then it came time for them to come home, and they got on a bus. And as the bus made its way across the state of Georgia, the bus began to fill up. And finally it was full. And then some white passengers got on the bus. And the bus driver told Mrs. Bradley and the young Martin Luther King that they should get up from their seats and make room and stand so the white passengers could sit. I guess they moved too slowly. Maybe they didn't move at all. And the bus driver began to curse them with every word that you can imagine. Told those black son of bitches to get up out of their seats. And they did. Martin Luther King remembers that moment. For the next 90 miles as they journeyed back to Atlanta where they lived, He said he had never been so angry in all of his life. I think about that bus driver. I wonder if he was a member of some congregation. You know, this was the South 70 years ago. Everybody was a member of a church in the South in those days. I wonder if the bus driver was a member of a church. I wonder if he went to some regularity. I wonder if he ever heard the Beatitudes taught in his Sunday school class, or whether he heard ever the preacher preach on the Beatitudes of Jesus. I wonder if he ever sat in a Sunday school class and as they opened the Gospels and read the story of Jesus' resurrection appearances. I wonder if they ever studied John chapter 20. That chapter about the first Easter evening where the disciples had gathered together in fear, and they had locked the doors of the house on that first Easter Sunday, and somehow Jesus appears, the risen Christ appears to the disciples, and the first word that the risen Lord says, peace. Shalom. Aleichem. And then the risen Lord shows them that it's really Him. He shows them His side. He shows them His hands. Yes, I am the crucified one. And then He says to them, a second time, shalom, aleichem, peace. In that same chapter, 1 week later, exactly 1 week later, the disciples again are in a room. The doors once again are locked. And somehow Jesus appears to them this second time. This time, Thomas is with them. He was not there that first time. And he said, unless I see, I won't believe. And so this time they were all there, Thomas included. And Jesus again appears to them a second time. And the first word that He says, shalom, aleichem, peace. I wonder if that bus driver had a chance to be in a Sunday school class, whether he studied the risen Lord's words, the first words that the risen Christ says to His disciples. Shalom. Peace. When the Bible uses the word shalom, that word that we mean, it means peace. It's a loaded word. It's one of the most beautiful words in all of the scriptures. It's such a beautiful word, and it's so filled. It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means safety. It's a word that gathers together every conceivable thing, every expression that we can possibly imagine, and it puts it into one word, all of God's blessings, all that God wants to give us, all the goodness from God's heart to us is placed in this one word, Shalom. Everything that I have, I give you, God is saying. And of course, if I should say to you, Shalom Aleichem, your response, if you wanted to bless me back, would be Aleichem Shalom. We are God's peacemakers. In a world of disunity, I read back in that book of Genesis where it depicts what life was like in the world before Noah built the ark. And God looked down upon the earth and he saw corruption and violence. And I think, how God must see that again in our world, among nations and families and communities, and how desperately we need God's shalom to be alive and to be at work in God's world. I pride myself sometimes by being able to guess where people are from. Now, I cannot hear a Pittsburgh accent. And I think that's because where I grew up in Southeast Missouri, everybody sounds like you all. I mean, when I came to this place, I thought I was still in Southeast Missouri. The accent is so similar, I just can't hear it. I can't hear it. But when I hear a Southern accent, and I've done this on a number of times. I would meet someone from the South and hear the Southern accent, and I would say, you're from Virginia. Or I would hear someone speak, and I would say to them, I think you're from South Carolina. Or I would hear someone's language, and I would say, Mississippi? It's a Southern accent in every instance. But each one of those places has its own dialect, which makes it distinctive. And so, we are those who speak the dialect, the language, the accent. That our true citizenship is not of this world. Yes, we are a part of it. Yes, we live in it. Yes, it's a good world that God has made. But the way the world operates, as if violence and cruelty and meanness that we see, that we hear, it's on the television, it's on the radio, it's among neighbors and friends, this meanness, this shouting down of other people, this shutting down of other people, this cruelty and the violence and anger all around us. We live in this world, but we are not citizens of this world. We speak a different accent, hopefully so that the world will hear from our language, our speech, that we represent a different place, that we represent a different way to be in the world. The violence around us, among us, does not change the world. It rearranges the chairs. Sometimes it makes the world worse than it was before, but it never changes the world. The true change that the world needs comes from those who bring the blessing. Shalom. Aleichem. We each have the potential to do that, to be a part of God's great work. We got the latest Time magazine just the other day, or yesterday. You probably can't see it, but on the front of Time magazine, there's the lead article, How to Do More Good. It's kind of an interesting article about young 20-something, 30-something people who are beginning to commit themselves to a different kind of world. Isn't that a good thing? They're beginning to form lifestyle, giving patterns, living patterns, not only so that we will have another generation able to live on this planet, but so that people hundreds and even thousands of years will be able to live, thrive on this planet so in danger. But what I love about the cover, this is the water, all this blue, and there's a woman, looks like a young woman, with a summer hat. She's taken off her sandals and she's sitting on a platform going out into the water. And she's putting her index finger into the water. And then you see the circles, the ripples, going wider and wider and wider. It's a great article encouraging us to remember that one person, you, have an influence in this world for peace and love and compassion. And that from the ripples, from the influence of each single one of us, your life counts in the work of God's shalom and love and compassion in the world. Your life and mine is needed. God desperately needs you. The finger, your finger, into the water. And the ripples go wider and wider and wider, and each one of us can make a difference. And so we speak the language, the accent of peace. And by that we bless. We bless the world. Let this be our solemn vow. You know that song? Let there be peace on earth. Let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in God's shalom. And if I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, you say back to me,